Hey, what's up, guys? I'm Jaden Johnson. I couldn't be more thrilled to be here talking NBA hoops with you guys. Here with my co-hosts,
Trevor Porath,
Daniel Hansen,
and this is the Section 119 NBA preview show. We're going to be bringing you basketball talk all throughout the season, but first things first, we got today's Saturday, and the season starts on Tuesday, so we got 3 days here till the season starts, and I couldn't be more excited about it.
Dude, I've been waiting for the NBA to start back up since Kyrie drilled a shot to beat the Warriors again.
This is one of the best times because you got the World Series, wrapping up. It's just starting. NBA starting. The hockey's going. NFL's going.
College football. Starting to get into all the games that matter there.
Yeah, it's a good time of the year.
But as much as I love all those other sports, there's always just something special about the start of the NBA season. Because there's so much, with NBA especially, there's so much talk and hype and trade rumors and
especially
stuff
all this year.
Season, and I hate it.
This was, probably one of the busiest off seasons for the NBA. Of course, with, Durant's decision, there's a ton of hype, there's a ton of intrigue around the league. It's just going to be an excellent year.
Yeah. For me, the NBA offseason is one of the worst times because you just hear the same rumors circulated over and over again and the same hype and the same talk, and I just get so tired of it. I can't wait to see how it all just plays out on paper. So what we're going to be doing today is coming at you with some hot takes and some not-so-hot takes. We're going to be going through every division in the NBA and just talking about what we think will be the surprises from each team and division, you can expect for big things to happen. Just
instead of letting it all play out on paper, we're going to say we know everything and say what the team's going to be and who's going to be part of it, I guess.
So pretty much if you want to know what's not going to happen this season, listen to everything that Daniel says.
Not true.
And if you want to know everything that will happen and you can take to Vegas, I'm your guy.
Just kind of go with me 50-50.
Don't listen to anything they say. I'm your expert here.
At least Trevor's honest. All right, so we'll get started here. We'll just go ahead and dive into this the only way that I know how.
And that's starting from the bottom.
With the worst division.
Started from the bottom, and they're going to stay there, the Southeast
division.
And
we're going to end with the best division. Take a guess on who that'll be. You'll find out.
The Atlantic?
Nope. Southeast division. Here we go. Just looking over the division, what team you want to start with? What team stands out to you as an interesting, intriguing team?
The one I think they're going to win it is the Hawks. I think they'll have the best chance of winning the Southeast Division this year.
The Hawks are intriguing to me just partly because, Jeff Teague and Al Horford have been that team for years, and now they're gone. So people are going to have to step up. Kent Bazemore especially needs to take advantage of the tremendous athleticism he has, or else I'm not sure the Hawks can win that division.
Yeah, the Hawks, I think that they're going to win the division as well. I'm going to stick with Trevor on that because, I think it's going to be a toss-up between them and the Hornets, but I think that they are one of the most talented teams in that division. They have a lot of talent on that team. They got a Paul Millsap, who is, in my opinion, just a baller, just a great player, and as long as he's able to stay healthy, and I love Bazemore. He's one of the most exciting young players to me in the league. If he steps up and plays well and that team meshes, they could be a scary team in the East.
I think they'll struggle a little bit just without Teague and without Horford. I actually look at the Hornets to win this division, actually. I look at last year. They actually got into the playoffs finally, I think 7th seed. Put up a really good fight with Toronto. I look at Kemba Walker there. Batum played well. The team that they have, I think, is a little bit more on the rise. They played well in the second half. I think they edge out the Hawks for the division title here, actually.
Yeah, it'll be I got to say it's going to be a close race between those two in my eyes. There's really no teams in that division that just excite me. The most boom or bust team to me, though, I think could be the Magic. I don't mean that they have a high ceiling, but I do mean that their season could either be bottom of the playoffs, which I think is unlikely, but in the East you don't know, But that's their ceiling to me is about 7th or 8th seed. Their floor, though, could be the worst team in the league. So they've got, for me, they've got a lot of
variability.
I don't know. I can see a lot of things happening with them. What do you see?
I can see that same thing. It's just, you know, it's just this is really a hard division to really see what's going on. And what I think, this could be one of the first years where the division winner is not a top four seed.
Oh, easily. I mean, this division, it's pretty weak. Free agency was not kind to them. Magic, I think, they're kind of the third spot in this division for me. Because, I mean, they do have some good players. They brought in Serge Ibaka, though they did have to give up Oladipo to do so. They have Fournier. They have Hezonja, who I think can be a pretty good point guard. I don't think that gels enough to get into the playoffs for them. But, I mean, it does put them a step above against the Heat and the Wizards in this division.
What do you think is this team's floor, though? Because I could see them – I just looking at the roster, there are some players. I like Ibaka. I like Aaron Gordon. I like Evan Fournier. But there's also, to me, like, I just see a team that could potentially struggle big time.
They could, but you also have to keep in mind who else in the East is going to be playing better than them. I mean, they at least have good players on their roster. They have Aaron Gordon's. A lot of other teams, like the Heat, don't have that. I mean, the Heat, they have Hassan Whiteside. I don't think he'll be as good as he's been in years past with that new contract. They're trying to trade Goran Dragic, from according to the rumors we're hearing right now. And I think they'll really struggle.
They pretty much have Bosch.
They don't even have Bosch anymore. I mean, they pretty much said he's not going to be cleared for this year.
Is he supposed to miss the whole season?
That's what they're saying. I mean, team official reports or whatever. I'm not sure they've released one of those. But the rumors are is that they won't clear him. Bosch wants to play maybe, but he just thinks it's too much of a risk.
You can tell we're NBA insiders here.
Yeah, I'm. This is pretty much straight from the Twitter of Adrian Wojnarowski or.
Oh, this isn't. This isn't what you saw when you were at their practice the other day.
No,
at their practice facility and talked to their team vice president.
Not even what I saw watching them on TV in the summer league.
Well, if they don't have Bosch, then I really take them like really low. Then.
Yeah, I think they finish lowest in the division. Wizards, I think, are a couple games ahead of them just because I think John Wall is a special player. If he's healthy, he's one of the best point guards in the league.
John Wall needs to get himself on a team that is not called the Washington Wizards, and then we're going to see what he's really made of.
Yeah. The Wizards, their GM is one of the worst in the league, to be honest. I
totally agree there.
I mean, you look at their draft history, it's
awful. Pitiful.
So do you think
Otto Porter still might play out?
So what do you think, former Utah Jazz Trey Burke? You think he'll do any better there at the Wizards, or?
Yeah, I actually do like that fit for him. I like Trey Burke a lot. He's a very scrappy, a very emotional, heartful player, and that's what the Wizards need. I mean, they need guys like that. They've been a really soft team. I don't think that he's going to make the Wizards a much better team. But I do think that the Wizards will make him a much better player.
He's going to be on the bench. He's not going to play in front of Wall or Beal unless injury.
No, but he's going to get
those,
time.
Yeah, for both
of
those guys.
He's not going to start.
Yeah. I mean, for both of those guys, there's going to be plenty of time because they probably will get injured. But, I mean, the Wizards just always manage to fall flat on their face, regardless of how much talent they have.
Well, I mean, Marcin Gortat is your center. And
Nene's getting big minutes.
He's still alive? Come on.
Yeah, but I mean, that division in general, we can kind of just kind of meh. There's not going to be a team in there. We're going to be like, oh, that's a title contender. They're going to push the Cavs. For that, you pretty much have to look at the Atlantic and Central. The Atlantic, to me, probably has the best opportunity to challenge the Cavaliers because you have the Celtics, you have the Raptors in there. Those are probably my second and third best teams in the East. Beyond that, they're super top-heavy. They don't got much else.
I have Celtics at 8, but... I'm just kidding.
I do. You know, I like the Pacers more than I think that you do. And I think that the Pacers are probably – I think the Pacers could split those two teams. That you may have whatever order you may have the Pacers between the Celtics and the Raptors up there in the top four of that conference. But, I mean, we'll talk about them in a minute. In that division, I think that is going to be – like, the Atlantic division is just kind of garbage. beyond those three.
It's like gold-plated garbage. Because you got the Celtics and Raptors that make it look like everything's fine. You look underneath that, though, you got the Knicks, Sixers, and Nets, which are all just their own separate dumpster fires, pretty much.
Dude, when was the last time process. Knicks did anything on?
Huh?
When was the last time the Knicks did anything? Was it when Patrick Ewing was still there?
Pretty much. I mean, they've made the playoffs for like three straight years a couple years ago, but they lost first round in all of them, I think. I mean, they've just...
Has Kamala done anything there, really?
First round exits. That's it.
Here's my problem. You guys are not trusting the process. The 76ers are going to run the tables.
I trust the process, not this year, though.
No. I mean... I don't yeah. even trust the process, but...
The Sixers lost... They've already lost Simmons. They're going to lose Embiid at some point. We already know it.
Very likely.
And then I do like a couple of the other players on their roster. Dario Saric, I think, is a... good foreign big man
I
for them.
I love Saric. I think he's going to be an all-star in this league eventually.
Yeah. You got Timothy Luluu as well, but I mean, they need time to know.
I think it's like Luau.
Luau, whatever. He's not going to
potato.
Make them better this year. I mean, they're still going to be a high lottery pick.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's no way. I think that the 76ers are really contenders here, but they are one of the most exciting teams for me to watch. Because of those players that you mentioned, I'm really excited to see how Luau does. I'm really excited to see Ben Simmons, if he ever plays. I mean, we don't need to spend too much time on them, but I am thrilled to see how that all turns out this year and in the future. Mm-hmm. As far as other garbage goes, the Brooklyn Nets are terrible.
I love them because the Celtics have their pick this year and next.
Daniel's a Celtics fan
Do they have any, like a... Like the
protected?
Yeah, the pick this year, they have the Celtics have the right to trade with the Nets, so they're going to, like, trade first-round picks. Next year, it's unprotected as well, first-round pick, and I think that's where it ends. But, I mean, so the Celtics have extra incentive to beat the Nets this year, which most like likely they're going to do.
And I think that about wraps up what we need to say about the Nets.
Yeah. The Nets' best feature is that they give their pick to the Celtics. That's their intrigue.
Okay, so how about the other New York team? How about the Knicks? I don't need to recap this. We all know. They made some off-season headlines. Is any of that going to play out? Do you even see them as a potential playoff team?
Potential, yes, because they do have enough skill on the roster to make the playoffs. The question is, are they going to be healthy enough to make the playoffs? And that's where you have to say no. I mean, Derrick Rose can't stay healthy, and neither can Joakim Noah now.
And like last time we had this, you know, a team that, you know, kind of all these major people come together, they didn't really do that great.
Especially old people. The last time this happened was the Lakers.
Well, last time it was like this, I think, is the Nets for a couple of years ago, bringing in Paul Pierce, Darren Williams, and Kevin Garnett. Aging veterans that had injury history, it didn't really work out for them. I mean, they got like the 7th or 8th seed, I think, but they didn't really do too much after that. That's the Knicks ceiling, I think, is the... like 2013 Brooklyn Nets.
I don't think that they really have much of a shot at the playoffs, to be honest. I mean, okay, they got Carmelo. He showed us that he still has a little bit of life in the Olympics. Derrick Rose, he's decent when he's healthy. Decent to good, I guess. He's not a superstar anymore, though. And then Porzingis. I love Porzingis. I think he's the one guy that could keep them in contention. He's going to have a heck of a year, I think. But, I mean, you got to look at their bench. They got just garbage. Just a crappy bench.
I think the Knicks will be plus or minus two for the playoffs.
How do you mean?
Like, they'll either be two games out or two games, you know, within two games of the 8 seed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean,
in it or out of it within two games.
Yeah, if they're healthy, I think they can make the playoffs. But, like you said, if one of their starters goes down, they have nobody to replace them.
Yeah.
That's the story of the Knicks.
Lonnie Baker.
Good luck with that. The two teams really in this division that you, again, we are the focus of it is the Celtics Raptors. Raptors are going to be interesting to me just because, I mean, they pretty much only lost Biombo and I think maybe like Terrence Ross or something like that. They didn't really lose too much, but it's also like how much higher can they go with DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry? Have they maxed out? Personally, I kind of think they have, but I think they'll stay at that max of about like 54 wins or so. So.
I don't think that their loss in the offseason of Biombo, I don't think that that's going to cost them big time like some people do. They've still got a decent defensive front court. They've still got a very good back court, as you were just saying. With them, and again, I just think it's an issue of depth, and they just – I don't think that they've improved enough to really contend in the East. They could be a move or two away. I think that they could make a move before the All-Star break that does put them in contention. I think that they're on high lookout for trades that could make them better.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of couple things with Toronto trying to get somebody like that. They don't have a ton of resources to like kind of dangle out there, but they have enough that they could grab a small difference maker. I think one of those that they already have on their team is Damari Carroll. I mean, he hasn't been healthy for like 2 years, but when he was healthy, he was able to pretty much guard LeBron one-on-one. He was really good defensive stopper on pretty much all other occasions. So, I mean, if he's healthy, that's a massive difference for the Raptors.
So we won't hide the fact here that Daniel is a Celtics fan. I mean, if there is such a thing. So take it away, Daniel. What's a realistic outlook for the Celtics?
Realistic outlook is that they continue to develop the young guys that they have all over their roster and improve last year's wins total, probably about like five games, finish about 53, 54 wins, right there with the Raptors. I think they'll be duking it out for the first seed here. Best case scenario, Jaylen Brown becomes a tremendous rookie.
Not going to happen.
He's done well so far, but you got that.
Like in the preseason?
Preseason practices, everything.
Summer like league? Yeah. I'll believe it when I see it against NBA talent. I'm not sold on Jaylen Brown. I think that was probably the worst pick of the draft or one of the worst picks of the draft. I hate that pick. I don't see it. I don't think that he's ever going to develop into a big NBA player. I wasn't thrilled with it, but a
couple of things we've seen this year is his shot still needs to develop. He has a pretty good low post game. And so what's kind of been the word is that he's going to kind of replace Evan Turner on the roster a bit more, kind of that mid-range game. Because, I mean, Celtics have some outside shooting with Olynyk, Avery Bradley. They have a little bit of low post presence with Horford now and Amir Johnson. The mid-range game could be where Jaylen Brown kind of makes his mark.
Horford's a huge addition. I think that him having a big year is going to make or break that team. If he has an average to bad year, I think that they are probably fighting to get in the top four. If he has a good year, they're easily number two, possibly number one for me. So that wraps up the Eastern Conference. I think we've hit on every team there.
We have one more division.
Oh, I'm sorry. Central division.
We kind of forget about this division because the Cavaliers pretty much own it with LeBron on their team. But the Central division still, there's a lot of good teams here, I think.
There's a lot of decent teams.
Yeah, here. Decent teams. You have the Cavaliers, who are obviously the favorite. The Pacers, I think, are that second tier. Pistons, Bucks, and Bulls are just all kind of unknowns as to what they're going to be.
Yeah. The Bulls have had too much change in the past year to really see what's going to go, how good they're going to be.
Yeah, especially, I mean, they lost Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah. That was the team for the past, like, 6 years.
Well, losing Derrick Rose wasn't really too bad because he hasn't really played for them the past 3 years anyway, so.
I'm not expecting much from the Bulls. Sure, they added Dwayne Wade. I don't think that they're going to be much of a contender at all.
Michael Carter-Williams also now.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's a great player.
I like what they're kind of doing a little bit, trying to add some talent. And they're like the Knicks 5 years ago. The Bulls would have been great.
Mm-hmm.
But currently, I don't see a backcourt tandem of Rajon Rondo, Dwayne Wade, and Jimmy Butler really working on the court.
For me, the top team in this division, and I already said this, is the Pacers. I think the Pacers are without
top team? Top team in the division?
Oh, I'm sorry. The top team outside of the
Cavaliers.
There's
a hot take.
We on this division, we minus the Cavaliers on that.
The Cavaliers, they're so good that they've been promoted out of the Eastern Conference to the West.
Pretty much. I mean, any argument that the East has against the West is just because of the Cavaliers.
Yeah. So, okay, I'm sorry. Not my favorite team in this division. The team outside of the Cavaliers I think finishes the highest is the Pacers.
Agreed.
And I feel like they are, like I said, I think that they're the three seed in the West, in the East, with the possibility of even climbing up. I really like who they've got starting for them, and I feel like they've got a decent bench. I feel like they've kind of been putting the pieces together for a few years here, and now they've just got the team that I think is going to make an impact on the league and really play pretty well and could contend for that top spot.
I don't think they'll contend with the Cavaliers. I think they'll – I peg them as probably the fourth seed in the East. But, I mean, Paul George, outside of LeBron and Kyrie, I think he's the best player in the Eastern Conference.
And the most underrated in the league, in my opinion.
There's a couple that I might put ahead of him in that regard. Paul Millsap, I think.
And he has gained a little bit of traction as far as popularity.
And one thing that's got good going for the Pacers is they do have Jeremy Evans, Al Jefferson, and C.J. Miles.
It's like the Atlanta Hawks a few years ago where they just had all the ex-Jazz players, and they did what they went to the Eastern Conference Finals.
It's kind of funny. The Jazz always let them go, and then they do the next year.
I mean, the Pacers were one game from moving on to the second round last season, which could have also made them go to the Conference Finals because the East was not that great last year either. I think the ceiling for them could be along the lines of that, is if they have playoff success, if Paul George takes over a game, they could be a surprise spot in the West, in the Eastern Conference Finals.
I'm excited to see how Jeff Teague does there.
That was a good pickup, too.
I'm excited. So, I don't even need to know if it needs to be said, because every ESPN network and sports talk show you could ever listen to is just talking about the Cavaliers and the Warriors, so they might even be glazed over. But are the Cavaliers going to be better than last year's team?
It depends on what you mean by better. Is their record in the regular season going to be better?
I just mean better.
I think they will be. I think Kevin Love might have actually found a little bit more of a spot in those finals, on the team at least. It's also, I really like the addition of Mike Dunleavy onto that team. He's pretty much Iman Shumpert, but with an actual jumper. So I think they'll be a little bit better. I don't think the record in the regular season will show that, just because I think they'll kind of lay loose a little bit. They won't really try as much until like the final weeks of the season in the playoffs. I think LeBron will just kind of coast like he usually does.
I mean, yeah, you got to figure LeBron's getting up there in age, and I don't imagine that he plays nearly as many games as he has the past few years. So I'm with you on that. I don't even know if anything else needs to really be said about the Cavaliers.
LeBron, that's kind of it. The two other teams, though, one I'm really interested to watch here is the Bucks. I really like the team that they're building here, because pretty much they're just building a team of 7-footers.
They're enormous.
Like, we talked about like the Thunder last year, how like they swarmed with like 7-foot arms all over the court. The Bucks are pretty much doing that with their entire roster, plus Matthew Dellavedova.
Two of the teams that I think have the brightest future out of anybody in the NBA, and teams that I think could make the Eastern Conference much more competitive with the West in a few years down the road, are in this division, in the Bucks and the Pistons. I love the futures of these teams. The Bucks, man, like, I mean, aside from just being enormous, they got some incredibly talented players. The Greek Freak is, I mean, was he an All-Star last year?
I don't think he was an All-Star. They made him at the point guard the second half of the season, and that really is kind of what unhitched Milwaukee's potential, I think. They are going to need a lot of three-point shooting to come out of nowhere, pretty much. Especially with Chris Middleton being out for like 5 months, they're going to lack a little bit of spacing. But, I mean, you have Giannis. You have, I mean, Greg Monroe's probably going to be off the bench.
Parker.
Jabari Parker, who's still an athletic freak. You add Thon Maker to that as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the very least, with the amount of length on this team, they're going to be tremendous defensively.
Plus, you add the guy from down under, Dellavedova.
Oh, yeah, Dellavedova.
Probably the worst small ball team in the league.
It is, but they've got enough athleticism that they can play small ball while still being 7 feet.
Yeah, you know, I actually have really high hopes for this team. Dellavedova, I don't like the pickup. I think they overpaid him. I don't think too many people will argue that. But you know what? In a free agency like they had this year, who can really blame them?
It's Milwaukee. They're going to build through the draft more than anything anyways.
But. Exactly. And so there's a lot of players on this team that I feel like could have breakout years. I'm excited about them.
Dellavedova did show up in the playoffs last year, though.
Dellavedova's always, he's an interesting guy. He's an NBA player for sure. He's a good scrappy sixth man to me.
When his shot's on, he's good for the team. It's going to be whether or not he can maintain a good shot and his defense as a starter throughout the regular season. That's where Dellavedova's value is going to come in.
Dellavedova reminds me a lot of Matt Harpring. He's not the best shooter, not quite the best defensive, but he's got that hustle. The
junkyard dog.
Yeah, that's not the best compliment.
Story time. Story time here. I remember watching Matthew Dellavedova come play against the beloved Utah State Aggies in the Spectrum back in his college days. And, of course, the herd was giving him all kinds of grief and hard time because he's an ugly man. Kind of felt bad for him. And at one point, he puked in a bucket behind the bench. And he never heard the end of that one.
And that's all we're going to say about the Bucks now. The other team that kind of is on that same tier in this division, like you said, the Pistons, built an entirely different way, surrounded by just pretty much surrounding a bunch of players around Andre Drummond, who I think is one of the best young big men in the league. I
love Drummond.
I mean, if he could fix his free throw issues, he'd be one of the best big men in the league, period.
I love this team. If I didn't have an allegiance to the Utah Jazz and I were just starting to watch the NBA, this very likely may be the team that I would choose to follow the closest because I love this team. I don't think that they have a high ceiling this year. That's probably another year or two down the road before they're really competitors. But I just love the mentality, the buildup, the scrappiness of every player, it seems like, on this team. I love Stanley Johnson. That's a great young player they've got there. I love Reggie Jackson. Andre Drummond, like you said, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Reggie Bullock. It's a very solid team to me that isn't going to get pushed around by anybody.
I'm not as high on them, mainly because I also don't trust Stan Van Gundy to be the coach of this team. But we've seen a couple years with these guys. They're a little disjointed. I think they really need to kind of develop a little bit more chemistry. Hopefully they're able to do that this year because I do think that they do have potential. I just haven't seen them tap it yet.
That'll be fun to watch. And
I think that's now we're moving on to the West. Now we're moving on to the West.
Yeah. I was jumping the gun because I'm kind of tired of talking about some of these Eastern Conference teams, man. Let's get to the real basketball. Stop talking about college ball.
That's a little harsh, but the West is leaps and bounds above the East. Like, let's be honest.
I think that there are four teams in the West this year that would make the playoffs in the East that'll still miss the playoffs.
It happens like that every year, pretty much.
Yeah.
Some years more than others.
Last year was a little bit less so, but
four or five years ago, it was less of a gap. But this year, I think the gap's going to be as big as we've ever seen it. I love a lot of these West teams that probably won't make the playoffs, and I love their chances against a lot of the Eastern Conference teams.
I believe this next division that we're going to be talking about is going to be one of the most that fights a lot and has any team could actually make it, and that's the Southwest. There's a lot of teams that can actually make that, I believe. Take out the Pelicans and those other four, I think, could really make that.
I know Daniel will disagree with y'all.
Yeah, I'll disagree with you there. A lot there. I think the Spurs make this, of course, because they're the Spurs. I think the Pelicans are the only other playoff team actually in this division.
Where do you have the Pelicans in the playoffs, Daniel?
I have them getting barely in at the eighth seed, probably about 45 wins for the season. I think they recover last year. Last year they were just decimated by injuries. I don't think they'll be as decimated. And I think Anthony Davis come back has a good year. I think Buddy Hield plays pretty well for them. I mean, they're pretty much going to have him. They'll hide him on defense because he can't really defend an NBA player right now. On offense, though, he's going to already be one of the best shooters in the NBA. I mean, he shot 45% from three last year in college.
I'll give you that they were hit hard by injuries, and that is what made them so bad last year. But I don't think that they have the depth that's going to make them good this year. Anthony Davis is great, but he can't do it alone. And, I mean, you look at who else they've got on that team, and it's pretty sad. I like Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday's a baller, and he'll probably have a good year. Outside of that, what do you got?
They brought in Solomon Hill.
Don't say Buddy Hield, because we haven't even seen him play.
I know. They brought in Solomon Hill. He's a good wing player.
Solomon Hill's never done anything in his career.
He's been a really solid player, though. They don't have another star.
For an eighth or ninth man on a team.
He's better than that. Definitely better than that. He's a good, sixth, seventh man. He gives a lot of effort. He's a good defender, and he's got some potential on offense as well. I think that there's at least enough talent for 45 wins.
I very much disagree, especially in the West. I think that they are probably closer to 11th or 12th in the West. I'd say 12th.
Well, part of the reason I also think that is because I don't trust the Rockets, Grizzlies, and Mavericks at all. Rockets especially, they're going to have a fun offense, I think. I mean, they'll have James Harden. They have a lot of shooters around him. They have absolutely no defense. They're going to bleed points like they just lost both arms.
It'll be like the Suns of a few years ago, you know, the 10 years ago Suns teams.
It's got to bleed a little bit less points than you bleed, make them bleed.
And, I mean, they got a lot of firepower on offense, so, I mean, they're going to keep themselves in the games in many of them.
Yeah, they'll never be out of games, even if they're down by 20, because they have that firepower. But, I mean, there's just nobody on this team that really makes me nervous if I'm going in on offense. I mean, you look throughout their roster, they just don't have anybody that I'm really going to stop at.
Players. Yeah, and, I mean, surprise, surprise, Mike D'Antoni's the coach, so.
Plus, they also
when does Mike D'Antoni ever had a good defense?
For a couple weeks, so.
Yeah. You said you also don't trust the Grizzlies.
Yeah. You have Marc Gasol, you have Chandler Parsons, you have Mike Conley. You have a couple good players, but it's kind of the same thing with the Knicks, is you have a couple players that all have long injury histories. Parsons cannot play a full NBA season without getting injured. I don't trust him to play more than 40 games this year. Mike Gasol is coming off a season-ending injury. Mike Conley always seems to get injured because he's such a scrappy guy. He takes an elbow to the face almost daily. And they don't have a ton of depth after that. I mean, they have Tony Allen as their starting shooting guard, who's like 36. He's still not any good on offense.
So this season is going to depend on how many elbows Mike Conley takes to the face.
Quite possibly, yes.
So if he takes, say, plus minus four.
It was an over-under.
Over-under on.
Daily. I mean, you look at it, and plus, they also paid him. He's got, like, the richest contract in NBA
which
history.
Which is crazy.
Which is ridiculous. But.
I don't like what they did in the offseason. I don't think it sets them up in the future well, but I do still think that they're a competitive team. Probably not a playoff team, but right around that 9 to 10 spot for me. Maybe 8 if they are able to stay healthy, but. Again, that depends how many elbows Mike Conley takes to the face. So stop elbowing the poor guy.
Yeah, and then finishing off the trio
what about
of...
What about Mark Cuban's team? Why don't you get his?
Yeah.
His hey, team? Mark Cuban is the president of the United States.
During a Sharknado, yes. Any other time, he can GTFO. But I still don't trust the team he builds because he handed out a max contract to Harrison Barnes, who I like, but he's not worth a max contract. He's not a face of a franchise. Derek Nowitzki's going to still get like 20 points a game, but he can't defend anymore on defense. His knees are pretty much shot, playing 20 years.
But they got Seth Curry.
That's their saving grace. Not really.
I hate this Mavericks team. I mean, I don't have anything personal against the Mavericks. I just hate this team and how it's laid out. There's so few players that really excite me on here. You're going to give the big dollars to Harrison Barnes? Come on.
Part of that is they had no one else
no
to give it to.
It's no secret that I can't
well, everyone
stand
else was
Harrison
already under
Barnes
contract,
and,
so.
I mean, they did what they could, but you know what? This team is going to be soft.
I do have Andrew Bogut, so I don't think they'll be that soft because Bogut gives a good presence in the interior.
Yeah.
It's whether or not he can stay healthy as well.
You got D-Will.
I'm not a big Bogut guy. Bogut did well in Golden State, but everyone does well in Golden State, including Harrison Barnes, who is trash.
Well, he didn't do too well in the playoffs, but... I think Harrison Barnes will do decent there just because, I mean, he'll get more touches. I don't think he's a good spot-up shooter, which is what he was told to do a lot in Golden State. But I just don't trust the Mavericks team enough around him, on the bench especially, to last an entire NBA season and win 45 games.
But, you know, the Spurs can go ahead and start raising that Southwest Division title banner.
I don't think they'd lift those anymore because it would, like, blanket their entire roof.
Yeah, it's true. It'd probably start blocking the view of the upper bowl.
So you pretty much trade Pau Gasol for Duncan.
Which sounds bad until you realize Tim Duncan was literally on one leg.
Yeah.
He only played like one in every four games.
Exactly. He's still Tim Duncan. He's still a great mind. He's still one of the greatest of all time last year. But he was certainly down.
Plus, they're keeping his knowledge because he's going to be on the staff and an unknown role, but whatever role he wants.
And Gasol is a smart intelligent basketball player as well, who's got a lot of veteran experience that he's going to bring to an already very veteran team. I'm really interested to see how this Spurs team does, because last year they won a crap ton of games, but they still underachieved big time in the playoffs.
I think it's going to be the same this year, to be honest. They're going to win a crap ton of games, probably like 55 or more. But as soon as they face a really athletic team in the playoffs, it might be Golden State, to be honest, in one of the early rounds, they just don't have enough to contend. They have Kawhi Leonard. After that, there's not a ton of athleticism on this team.
Here's a very bold prediction for you. Tell me if this is bold enough or stupid enough. I think LaMarcus Aldridge is going to have a monster season and be in the talks for MVP.
Stupid.
Not going to win it.
Here's a bold take for you. LaMarcus Aldridge will be traded at the deadline.
I see we have differing opinions.
Well, I'm excited to see Kyle Anderson. He's a good point forward. He can be a good point forward for you.
Very solid.
The young players that you got, Kyle Anderson. Also, if he gets time, DeJounte Murray out of Washington was a tremendous draft pick for them. I don't know how he lasted to the end of the first round. The Spurs always get lucky like that.
I was screaming at my TV when that happened, because it was like, of course the Spurs pick him up. Like, of course he falls to them.
Yeah. I just think, like with Aldridge, I don't think he's going to fit in well. We've already heard some rumblings that he doesn't like being number two to Kawhi Leonard. And plus, I think the Spurs know they don't have a shot to beat the Warriors this year. I think they're going to reload.
All right. Pacific Division, here comes our speed round of three teams that really don't stand a chance. Kings, Suns, and Lakers. Who's the worst?
Kings.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I think the Lakers. Well,
record. Record wise, the Lakers might be worse.
Just worst team. Just the worst team.
Yeah, I think Kings are the worst team. Record wise, I think they'll get more because they have Cousins. But the Lakers at least have young talent. They at least have people that are going to amount to something in the NBA besides DeMarcus Cousins, and I think the Kings just continue to be the dumpster fire that are the Kings.
And I think that's about all that needs to be said about any of those three.
I think Suns divert a little bit more, just because I love the young talent that they got on this team.
Booker's a great player.
Booker's good. They bring back, I think, Brandon Knight as well.
Barbosa
was a great pickup, I think, for them.
A great young man.
Their two draft picks, though, of Dragan Bender. And Marquise Chris. They need time to develop for sure. I mean, Bender's only like 19. But I really love the team that they've got set for the future. Definitely not going to really do much
this year.
They're
going to have to add a lot of pieces before I get too excited about that.
They also have a first-year coach.
Earl
Watson's been on the staff. He's been on the staff, and he interimed last year.
When Hornacek was fired.
I like Earl Watson. I mean, we saw him play in Utah for a few years. Great, great basketball mind, no doubt.
Yeah, I think they'll have time to get players because they're still going to be in top lottery. But I love them set up for the next couple of years. But this is a two-team division with the Clippers and Warriors.
Okay. Do you buy or sell the Clippers as a top four team in the West?
Sell.
I think the Clippers. Push. I think they'll be probably five or six, because I think they still have enough talent. But, I mean, I just don't trust this core anymore. I mean, Paul Griffin and Jordan have had chances. They've looked good in the past, and they've failed each time that they've been given a chance.
I think they've had their chances, and they're not getting any younger. And, I mean, who do you have to really, like – What is any reason for me to get more excited about this team than I was in the last two or three years? I don't see any.
There's none. It's the same roster.
Just but older here's, and
here's a question, I guess, for you guys. If the Clippers start off like 20-20 on the season, which I think is somewhat likely, what are the odds you think the Clippers start taking offers on one of those big three, Paul Griffin or Jordan?
I think it's very likely. Even if they start out a little better than that, I think it's very likely that one of those three is gone by the trade deadline.
And finally, I guess, Trevor, as well, question to you. Do you think Doc Rivers lasts the season?
If they start that 20-20, then no.
I have said it before. I don't think he does. Yeah. They've had their chances. Yeah.
Rivers is a good coach. It's just not a good team.
He'll do well elsewhere.
And they're just going to look even worse because they're playing in the same division as the Warriors. I mean, we'll keep this to a minimum because you're sick of hearing the Warriors. We know about that.
I'm so sick of it.
Over-under, is set at 68 wins, I think, for this team. Do you guys think over or under on that?
Under.
I'm going to go under because they do have some new people, and it's going to be harder for them to gel right away.
I was thinking that I might actually pick over on that. I don't think they'll break 73, but looking at this team, I mean, yeah, it is the preseason, but the broken plays that they're able to turn into points is astounding. Like, they'll just be fun to watch solely on that factor.
I think under.
You don't know how much I actually take from the preseason, though? Not really much, because the Suns did come 30 points back from the Utah Jazz, but they were playing the against three of the people that got cut that same night.
Yeah, I don't take anything preseason either. But you look at, like, how discombobulated and crazy defenses are going trying to guard the Warriors. I think they have a shot to win a ton of games still.
Anyway, for more on the Warriors, please tune into ESPN, because I'm sick of it. Northwest Division. I think this is the best division in basketball, and that's not just because I'm a Jazz fan. And I know Trevor's a Jazz fan here, too. We're not even going to hide it. I think the Northwest Division's the best top-to-bottom division. The Nuggets, I can't even – I know Daniel's a little higher on them than I am. I can't even see the Nuggets really getting more than 30 wins.
I think they'll get about, like, 38 to 40. Still be, like, the 10th spot in the West, but I like the team they got set up. My hot take, of course, Jaden knows this. Trevor's going to know this now. I think the other four teams are all playoff teams.
That's nice. That was a question I was just going to ask. You think this could be a four-team division playoff?
I think absolutely. And not that – I think Jazz, 2 seed, and I think the Timberwolves, Thunder, and Blazers are at least in some form the 5, 6, and 7
You just
seeds.
Heard that from a non-Jazz fan. I'm going to put that out there. He says the Jazz are the 2 seed.
If they're healthy, that's the one thing that
and
they have to
maintain. Yeah, of course. Me and you have gone back and forth on this for a while. I don't think that the Timberwolves are even close to – I won't say that they're not even close, because in the East, I think that they're a playoff team. Like I said, I think there's quite a few that are like that. I don't even think that they're in the talks in the West, though. They've got a great, great young core. Talk to me next year at this time, 2 years from this time, and it's very possible that we're talking about them not just being a contender or being a playoff team, but being a contender.
Yeah, the two stats I always think of with the Timberwolves that really convinced me, I guess, is one, Karl-Anthony Towns last year, rookie season, was 12th in PER among, like, players that had played more than, like, 1,000 minutes, so actual players. He's just going to get better. And second, they had 113.5 points per 100 possessions, which was best in the NBA, even better than the Warriors. They just had a terrible defense. I think Thibodeau fixes a lot of that. At least, I mean, it's not going to be a stingy defense, of course, but it's going to make them a little bit better enough to get into the playoffs. About 47, 48 wins.
Said number five in the playoffs.
I think fifth seed, yes.
You think 45 wins is enough to get them there?
I think like 47, 48.
I'm with Daniel on the playoffs, but only if Ricky Rubio can stay healthy this year.
That'll be a big part of it, and behind Ricky Rubio's Chris Dunn. If he has a monster rookie season, I think that could be the thing that puts him in playoff contention. I'm not saying that they're out. I don't think that they're in, though.
That's also the thing. Chris Dunn is already an amazing defender.
That's
the one thing that's going to also make him good for this team.
With a big season from this backcourt, they could be in.
Zach LaVine probably is going to be in the dunk contest again.
Yeah. So the Thunder made a lot of off-season headlines, of course, you know.
All the wrong ones, I guess.
All the wrong ones. They certainly have deteriorated in talent from last year. I still look at them as a playoff team, probably in the 6 to 7 range because of Russell Westbrook. I think
Russell Westbrook and Oladipo, I think that's going to, by the end of the year, be considered one of the best backcourts in the NBA. I mean, partly because Westbrook's Westbrook, but I think Oladipo is going to make a massive leap now that he's left Orlando.
I don't think I'm as high on Oladipo as you are, but I don't know. I like a lot of the players on their roster, and I think that it's still like built as a team that could easily make the playoffs. And I really like what they've done in this offseason, because you can't get better losing one of the top three players in the league. You just can't do it. I'm sorry. But with what happened to them, I feel like they've really kind of scrapped things together and put things together that in next year, we very well may be talking about them again as a top four team in the West.
I think the Serge Ibaka trade
was
I would think the greatest move they could have made.
I think that was brilliant.
in light of the Durant decision, I guess. But
okay, so I think that all three of us are probably going to agree on this. The top two teams in that division, the Trailblazers and the Jazz. Portland is a very interesting team to me, because last year, like, I thought they were done with everything that happened, losing four out of their five starters. I thought these guys were probably one of the bottom two, three teams in the West, and just no chance at the playoffs, and they still make the playoffs. And
Damian Lillard.
That's it. I mean, the dude is a freak. There's never been as bad of a highway robbery as last year when he was not selected in the All-Star game.
Pretty much, and then he came out, destroyed the Warriors as retribution, I guess, for that. I'm not as high on the Blazers, I think. I think they're going to be right there with the Thunder and Timberwolves for the second spot in this division. Partly because I think they they played above their potential, I think, last year. And they fell into a gap that was kind of left by a lot of other teams in the West, kind of falling back a little bit. I think they take a tiny step back from where they were last year. I think Evan Turner does have a good year for them off the bench. I don't think it's enough for them to run away with second spot in this division, though.
I don't like the Evan Turner pickup, but it's not – I just don't think it was the smartest thing they could have done. I don't think it's going to make them worse. Evan Turner's a decent player and he'll add a little bit of depth. I think that they could have done more with the offseason than what they did. But, you know, head to toe, this is just a very talented team. This, to me, I mean, last year they proved it. They are a very talented team. They had Festus Ezeli as well, who's been a decent player for the Warriors over the past few years. And to me, it's going to be a dogfight between the Blazers and the Jazz for the top seat in that division. And I'm excited to watch that, man. That's probably, I mean, they start out the season against each other and play each other all throughout the season. And that's one of the most exciting races, I think, that there's going to be in this season.
I think Jazz run away with this division and win. I think they're a 55-win team this year. I don't think anybody else in the division is going to be above, 48, 49. And like I said, I think the Wolves, Thunder, and Blazers are all going to be in that little realm there.
Okay, so talking about the future 2016-2017 NBA champion Utah Jazz team, from a totally unbiased perspective,
they sweep the
like
Celtics
mine,
in four.
I'm at least happy you got the Celtics getting to the finals, so I'll take it.
The Jazz are I've seen them all over the board as far as their potential. You know, I've seen people along with Daniel, quite a few actually saying that they're the number two team in the West. I've seen a lot of people saying that they're not even making the playoffs. And
if you want to make money, their over-under for win total this year is 47.5. Bet over your life savings on the over.
You want to go down to Wendover with me?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Hit it up, man.
I'm not a Jazz fan. I've never proclaimed to be. I've often said I don't like the team the Jazz built. I love the offseason moves they had. I mean, George Hill was a good pickup, but then you also added Boris Diaw and Joe Johnson. Joe Johnson, I think, is a major add for them. Gives them playmaking ability. I think he'll be crucial to survive the stretch without Gordon Hayward in the beginning of the season.
No doubt. That's the kind of thing that would have done them in past years, that injury to Gordon Hayward, or at least put them off to a very bad start. I think that they're going to be just fine without him. Not great, but I think they'll be just fine without him because of that. And if you're listening to this in Utah, if you're from Utah, you know that there's so much hype surrounding this team. I mean, no question. I don't remember a Jazz team that's been this hype for years, probably since those Western Conference final teams. But, man, I just look at this roster, and there's so many exciting things on there for me.
What I have a question for is, now that this year Rudy Gobert's making his free throws, what are the teams going to do with them in the paint? What are they going
to
do?
I mean, hopefully that continues. I'm hoping that continues. It's hard to say. Of course, he's probably made a little bit of progress in that in the off season, but I don't put too much stock into a player hitting him in the preseason when it doesn't really matter. So we're going to have to see it happen in games.
I think it'll regress, but I mean, even if he's 60%, that kind of takes that option away. The only ways you're going to be able to attack this team really on offense is you're going to have to either, one, get Gobert in foul trouble, which is going to be difficult to do because you're not going to be able to get into the interior of this defense that easily, or you're going to be able to need to shoot from the outside well. That's where I think they'll struggle when they have to eventually play like the Warriors in the playoffs or something like that, is they'll be able to score even without getting into the interior of the defense.
Here's another bold prediction for you. The Jazz have three All-Stars this year, and Rodney Hood wins the Most Improved Player of the Year.
I could see that happening. I mean, just because those usually go to scorers, and I'd expect Hood to score a lot this year. I think there might be a couple other players that might warrant the, or might receive that award with more publicity, I guess. But who do you think those three All-Stars are going to be, though, I guess, is my question.
I think that Gordon Hayward is going to have an absolute monster year.
You think he'll get All-Star even while missing the first 20 games?
I do think so.
I think one's going to Rudy.
Yeah, I think that Rudy Gobert as well. And, you know, I'd probably have to say Derek Favors is a third. However, I think that as an outside shot that they've got I think that Dante Exum may have a long shot.
He has the better shot, I think, at Most Improved Player. I don't think they get three All-Stars just because that's so difficult to do in the Western Conference. I mean, you look at all the players in there, there's not a ton of open spots left after you deal with, like, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, all these players that we know are going to get in to the All-Star game because of the voting and whatnot. I think it'll be difficult for, like, Favors to get in there. I think maybe the Jazz get two.
Here's what I'm going to say. Gordon Hayward is not just selected by the coach. I think that he gets in by fan vote.
I don't agree with that. With him missing 20 games, it's going to be difficult for him to get into a small forward spot in the All-Star game with the fans.
Yao Ming missed half the season and got in.
Yeah, but Gordon Hayward's not Chinese.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Anyways.
That's just my opinion. I don't think they'll slot him in above, like, a Kevin Durant or Klay Thompson, which I think he'd have to do to be able to win the fan vote to get in. He might get in on the coach's vote, though.
Anyways, I think that wraps up. We've at least mention the names of every single team in the NBA, even the ones that we don't really care to talk about too much. They'll get a little more attention as the season goes on if they deserve it. We're going to talk about the teams that deserve the attention the most, whether for good or for bad. But I'm thrilled for the season. There's so much intrigue for me, so much like you said, a huge off season that we had. And man, especially like this first few weeks is going to show us a lot. So 3 days away, man, I'm counting down. Here we go.
Yeah, Tuesday night, I'm just going to be planted in front of my TV just watching. I think it's three games, but I mean, we're going to have the Knicks-Cavaliers, so we'll at least be able to see if the Knicks can play a game. Spurs-Warriors to start off the season is going to be fun. But then, like, Jazz-Trailblazers might be the game of the night for me there.
Can't wait.
Not only that, this isn't really basketball, but Tuesday's the first game of the World Series.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot the
basketball.
But
the Boston's out.
Yeah, and who cares about Cleveland?
Anyways, thank you for tuning in today. You can find us on Twitter, as always, at 119 Sports. We're always going to be coming at you with whatever's new and whatever's we want to talk about. Whatever, as Daniel would say, whatever floats our goat.
Stay tuned for a lot of NBA coverage.
So, anyway, enjoy your opening night for the NBA and enjoy the season. And thanks again for tuning in. And again, if you want to make a lot of money, go bet on every single thing that I said because I'm never wrong.
Celtics NBA champs.
And bet against Daniel. Bye.
Timberwolves 50.